Okay. Good morning. Ber HaGa'ilah. Ber Revi, Section Yud, again according to the Hartman divisions. Okay. It's a lot of Gemaras, but we'll get through them very quickly. We'll see. It's just to be intimidating. It's more intimidating when it's a speech, when you don't know how long it's going to be. When it's a shiur, when you know how long it's going to be, it's not as bad. Okay. The Gemara that he's discussing today is the Gemara on Daf Pei Tes in Shabbos, in Perek, which is very aptly named Perek Omer Rabbi Akiva, which contains here the sugya on Daf Pei Tes is a sugya of Kabbalah Satara, sugya about Har Sinai. And discussion about Har Sinai and the events leading up to and including the giving and the receiving of the Torah at Har Sinai. And the one passage, very, very short passage, which the Maharal is choosing to explain over here, reads as follows. V'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, V'shor sha'ol ha'mayshe l'amorai, motzei la'kodesh baruch hu sha'ya kesher k'sarim l'aisiyas. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven, which is a characterization in general of how Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah at Har Sinai, that he went up to heaven. He went up to Har Sinai, but Hashem had, so to speak, brought the heavens down to Har Sinai. He went up to Har Sinai, he went up to heaven to receive the Torah. So he found HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was tying the crowns onto the letters of the Torah. If you look in the Torah, and here we can just pull out this Gemara, which we're going to draw upon soon, but this Gemara has nice illustrations, at least in principle, of the Tagin, although it brings different, it shows different opinions from the way we have it, right? As you can see, these are large letters relatively, but you know, let's say you look here at the Zion, so it has three prongs which come from the top that, you know, resemble, if you think of, you know, the old crowns, the way they look, so they're not just straight rims, they have these points that come from them. And there are the letters of the Torah, seven letters of the Torah that have ksarim, that have crowns on top of them. Right? You know that from looking at the script of a Sefer Torah. It's not square letters like you find in a printed book. And the letters, there are all these curls and edges. And most notably, right, beyond the curls and edges which you have in all letters, you have these seven letters which are known by the acronym Shatnez Get, Shin, Ayin, Tes, Nun, Zayin, Gimel, and Tzadi, that have more elaborate crowns on the ends, on the tops of them. So when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven, Hashem was, so to speak, putting the finishing touches on the Torah. And he was tying the crowns onto the letters. Whatever that means. Omar Lei, Moshe, Ein Sholem Be'irach. So Hashem opened the conversation. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu just came there and he's looking, watching. And he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, tell me where you come from. In your city, they don't say hello. They don't say shalom. Okay? Right? Like a teenager, right? Amar lefanav, so he said, Klum yesh eved shenais in shalom l'rabbi. He says, what are you, Rabbi Nishalom? Is there a slave, a servant, who says shalom, who gives shalom to his master? Of course we say shalom. To one another we say shalom. But Rabbeinu Shalom, it's me, Ki Eved Neman Karasalai, I'm your faithful servant. It would be audacious of me to give Shalom to you, my master. That's why I'm not saying anything. Said the Rabbeinu Shalom back, Omar Lei, he said to him, Hayulachala Azraini, you still should have given me help, or given me strength. Miyad, Omar Lei, so immediately, Moshe Rabbeinu said to him, "Ata yigdal makayach Hashem kasher dibarta. May Hashem, may your strength grow and be strong like you have spoken." That's the end of the Gemara. Rashi says, "Shalom, ain shalom." Says, "Ain derech lit ain shalom." People don't greet each other where you come from. So he said, "Lazreini, you still should have helped me." What does that mean? Loimar. Titzlach malachtecha. You should have said something. You should have said, you know, you should be successful in your work. Even though you're a servant and I'm the master, there's still something that you could have and that you should have said over here. So miyad, immediately. Now, if you would read that, and I would read that, we would say that immediately, that's what happened. That says Rashi, I have a problem. The problem is that the pasuk of Ve'ata Yigdal Melkeich Hashem Kasher Dibarta Lemar is in Parshas Shlach, by the story of the Meraglim, which happened months after this. So he says, Be'aliyah Acheres, at another time that he was up in front of Hashem, we find him saying, Yigdal Melkeich Hashem Kasher Dibarta Lemar. He's saying, Hashem, your strength should grow. In other words, while at this point it seems he didn't say anything, right? He already just took the reproach and finished. But we find this attitude reflected by Moshe Rabbeinu at a later time that he gave Hashem encouragement. You know, Rabbeinu Shem, you should be encouraged. May your strength be strong and you'll be able to forgive the Jewish people, which is what he said over there. That's the introduction to the version of the attributes of mercy that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem there. Hashem, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed, and so on and so forth. So, that's the Gemara. The Marsha on the Gemara says, well, maybe, you know, sometimes you find, the Marsha doesn't cite this, but for instance, you know, we say, Vayemra Hashem Salachti Kidvarecha, right, when do we say that? On Yom Kippur. And we say that associated with the Egel. But in the Torah it doesn't say it there. In the Torah it says it by the Meraglim. So sometimes, you know, bozev elimed alzeh, it says it here, it could have been also said there, it was also part of the discussion there. So one could translate the Gemara, other than Rashi, and say miyad, that Moshe Rabbeinu said it then too. He said it right away when the Hashem gave him the reproach, and he said it again by the Meraglim. But what we see him doing by the Meraglim, which might raise a few eyebrows, why, may Hashem be strong? I mean, what kind of a thing is that to say? But that was a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu encouraging him to do so at this earlier juncture. So, what's the problem with this Gemara? So, the Maral does not articulate exactly what the problem is, but he says, V'gam b'mama hazeh yishar choka l'fi anira b'tchilas hadas. He says, this also would seem to be difficult at first glance. The Magia, Rabbi Hartman, says that presumably the two problems which you have here is one, the characterization of the Rabbanu Shlom as tying crowns onto the letters, and two, this exchange where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, you still should have helped me. You're still Hayilacha Le'azreini. So, and these really are the two things that the Maral is going to deal with. So, you know, sometimes you can figure out what the questions are when you look at the answers, right? I think there's a game show that does that. So, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvarei. So, let's start with the Ksarim L'Aisiyos, partially, and Mirat Hashem, we're going to go. Well, the progression here, what we will try to do today, and as we learn this shtikla in the Maral, is we're going to start with the Maral's explanation of Ksarim L'Aisiyos, which is a beautiful explanation, and then we're going to go on to attempt the Maral's explanation in terms of the Sholem Beircha. But first, before doing that, we're going to look a little bit at some of the halachic background of this notion of Sholem L'Rabbi, and then, because the Maral is going to be exceptionally difficult, we're going to try to build upon it, and then it will bring us back to the Ksarim L'Aisiyos.
We had that a few years ago on Shavuos. We talked about Boaz greeted his
right. That's one of the important things, and he was greeting his workers who were in the field, right? And Hashem Imachem, and they responded and they said, Yivarechecha Hashem. So yes, that's the source for learning to greet people with the name of Hashem, but he goes beyond. Okay. Now, the Maral's explanation of Ksarim L'Aisiyos. Says the Maral like this. I'll read to you a few of his words. Hatarish Anos Hashem Yisbarach LeYisrael Hu HaSeder Eloki Asher Sidra Hashem Yisbarach Me'itai Be'ezein Yinisnagu. The Torah is God's divine order of things, of how people should conduct themselves, how they should behave. The Seder Hazeh Ein Safek Shu'al Kol Seder V'Anoga Asher V'Shashiyach Ein Achravayt. And there's no question that this Seder has to be viewed as the supreme Seder. the best way for people to exist, for people to function in the world. This is the highest and the best form of guidance that could possibly be given in the world. He says, you can't tell me there's any more, because why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu give people to his creations, to his creatures, any less than they would be able to indeed have? He wants to give it to them. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, as the Ramchal writes in the beginning of the famous passage, in the beginning of Derech Hashem, Hashem created the world to give us benefit, and the greatest part, he wanted to give us not just chocolate cake and vanilla ice cream, he wanted to give us the best possible benefit that could exist in the world. And the best possible benefit is so that we should be able to achieve within ourselves as much godliness as a human being, as a being other than Hashem, would be able to achieve. So says the Maharal, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, he gave us the best, the chief, ideal, perfect godliness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the fact. And he says, and that's indicated by the fact he says this is the godly Seder, but it is the uppermost and the best that it could be, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tying onto it the crowns. And the idea is, because when something has the crown, it is the top, right? The king wears the crown, it's on the top of everything else. So the Ksarim Laisius, the crowns of the letters, symbolized that this was it, that there was nothing better. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to see this, says the Maharal. Why? He klarefshir shatiyah lekis. It could be that it's God's word, but the efshir mali yaser gedolo. But there could be something even better that Hashem would have to offer. Of course, it couldn't be better than what's from Hashem, right? You can't find something outside, but Hashem could still have more to offer. Exhibit A says, because look, Hashem gave the Bnei Noach. He gave humankind before Matan Torah, he gave them mitzvahs. He gave them seven mitzvahs. But then he went, and at Har Sinai, he upped the ante. He raised things a level beyond. And he gave the Torah, he gave the 613 mitzvahs. Says the Gemara, says the Maharal, so how do you know, when Hashem's giving the Torah at Har Sinai, that there isn't yet level 3 or level 4? When Hashem tied the crowns onto the letters, he was showing, this is the crowning Torah. This is the top. There's nothing beyond. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was being able to see this idea of the Kashik Sarim Liyasiyas, the ultimate Madrega, the ultimate level of the Torah which was being given to them now. So that's the way he explains this this idea.
Top of the line.
Huh?
Top of the line.
Top of the line. And that's how he explains, for instance, you know, as is almost typical of the Maharal, to travel easily between the halacha and the agada. And he says that's why we know that we hold the halacha. There are those who hold otherwise, but we hold the halacha that if a person, for instance, is writing a get and a divorce, and you're writing it also, it's also written in Ksav Ashuris, but we don't put on tagin, we don't put on crowns on the letters. He says why not? Because the crowns represent the Malas HaChachma Elikis. So it's not part of the surah, it's not part of the structure of the letter, that if you're writing it in another context. It's only for Torah. It's only part of Torah. And therefore, the usage of these crowns is reserved for the context of Ksivas HaTorah itself. So again, that level one of the Maharal's interpretation of this Gemara, of that aspect of the Gemara. Okay, so recap very, very quickly. We have here in the Gemara where Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven, he found Hashem tying the crowns onto the letters of the Torah. So the Maharal has explained that, and he said the idea is because what he was showing him was, this is it, right? The crown means it's the uppermost. And this is the uppermost, the highest wisdom, the crowning achievement, or the crowning gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give to humankind. Whereas Hashem had already given a Torah of the Sheva Mitzvahs to the Bnei Noach, but then there was more to come. When he gave the Torah at HaSinai, there was no more to come. This is it. This is the greatest. That was the crowns that he was showing him. That's the Maharal's interpretation of that. Yes?
There's something to the choice of the word tying. It's unusual.
It's a very, very valid question and a good point. What kind of an expression is that? Kaishek Sarim Laisias, tying them, connecting the crowns to the Isias. I don't I don't have a response. The Maral does not address it. At least over here, maybe there's some other place where he addresses it. At least over here, he doesn't address it, and I don't have any thoughts about it myself at this point.
As a comparison, do we know how the seven Noahide laws were given? Or was there any ceremony?
There was no. We don't have any notion of a ksiva, of a writing, of a tablets, of a scroll. The Torah tells us the instructions that Hashem gave to Noach after the Mabul, and that's all that we have. So we don't, and I'm not familiar with any midrashim that go beyond in terms of, like you say, a ceremony or an object or something like that would be included. Okay, but then the Maral has to go on to the second part of the Gemara. And again, as we said, we're going to deal with this. We'll try to deal with this, and go beyond it. The second part of the Gemara was when Moshe Rabbeinu was up there and he's looking around, he sees Hashem tying the letters. So Hashem says to him, "What? Ein shalom b'yircha? You don't know how to say hello? And where you guys come from, nobody says hello. Just coming in here. What am I? Right? Whatever it is, chopped liver." So he says that. So the Moshe Rabbeinu says, "You know, no, you're not chopped liver. Farkert. You know, I'm chopped liver. I'm an Eved. I'm your slave. I'm your Eved Neman, and you're the master. You know, to greet you like that." So Hashem says, "You still should have said something to encourage me." And so Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Yigal Nakeach Hashem Kasher Dibar Tolim." So the Maral begins as follows, and he says like this. You feel that you have nothing to do with this activity, with this what I'm doing over here. I mean, this is godly work, and therefore it has nothing to do with you. To say shalom means that we're somehow in this together, right? We're somehow in this together. We're sharing this. So I greet you as a partner. And you see me, I'm tying the letters onto the Torah, it's yours, a Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that's only your work, I mean, who am I? I mean, I can watch, but I'm watching like I'm watching from behind a glass, behind the window, but it's your work, and it's purely your work. For me to come in here, burst in here on you and say Shalom, it's like we're partners, right? Boaz and his servants, right? He goes out to the field, and he's going to check in on them. They're doing the work in the fields of harvesting, and he's the landowner, and he's interested in it. So they... You know, hi, how are you doing? You know, there's a partnership that's involved over here. But here, you know, you walk in on a person and he's cutting diamonds. You don't say, "Hi, how are you doing?" Right? You know, you just be quiet and you watch. It has nothing to do with you. Right? He's doing it on his own, and he needs to be, and not that he needs his conscience, not that, you know, we're worried about disturbing Hashem's concentration. Maybe he'll, you know, some of the ink will run as he's being kashuk sermonizers, but just, you know, what are you doing over here? You're bursting in on something that has nothing to do with you. Okay. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Maral that you should have joined, you should have done something. Yeah, you're not a shutuf. You're not a shutuf to say shalom, right? Notice specifically, he doesn't say, okay, no, but you should have said shalom anyway. He says you should have said something anyway to encourage. There is still something that you should do. Okay, now before we get into the Maral's rather elaborate and deep, beyond my ability to explain understanding of this idea of the partnership. So let's look a little bit at the idea of a person saying shalom. And you know, if you want to follow a little bit of the flow of it, saying shalom to a Rebbe, if you want to follow a little bit of the flow of this, so you know, with easy connecting of the dots, so. In the Gemara over here in Shabbos, there's a little, what we used to call a baseball, which is a certain type of an asterisk, that points to the Gilyan Hashas, the Rabbi Akiva Eger. It looks a little like a baseball. It's a circle, which looks like it has like those, that thing in the middle of it. There's no Maral on that. The Rabbi Akiva Eger says, take a look at the Marsha in the beginning of the fourth parak of Brachas. And the question and the answer which he gives there is actually a discussion in Tosfos in Bava Kamma, Davayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, that's what the Rabbi Akiva Eger says. So what's the discussion over here? The Gemara in the beginning of the fourth parak of the Gemara in Shabbos is in Daf Pei Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Brachas is on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, in the beginning of the fourth parak. Rabbi Yezer says, HaMispalel Acherei Rabbi, a person who davens right behind his Rebbe, V'anaisin Shalom L'Rabbi, and a person who gives Shalom to his Rebbe, V'amachzer Shalom L'Rabbi, and a person who responds Shalom to his Rebbe, V'acherek Al Yeshivosei Shal Rabbi, and one who is chaylik, who, so to speak, disputes or challenges his Rebbe's sitting, you know, his Rebbe's position. And the person says something that he didn't hear from his Rebbe. He causes the Shekhinah to leave the Jewish people. Okay, so this is various and sundry ways of undoing the proper connection, relationship between Rebbe and Talmud. And, you know, it's worthy of a discussion for itself. But, you know, understood that Moshe Rabbeinu was, Hashem was the original Rebbe. Moshe kibul Torah mi Sinai and Moshe li Yeshua. Moshe received the Torah from Hashem at Sinai and he gave it over to Yeshua. Yeshua gave it over to this Canaan. And so we have, and as the Rambam expresses it in Hilchas Talmud Torah, to some degree, when a Rebbe is giving over the Messiah, is giving over the tradition, so he and the Talmidim are somehow playing the roles of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and Moshe Rabbeinu, the original Rebbe and Talmud. So there we have this thing. Now again, you know, present company exempted. Please don't treat me like God. There's a notion in Kabbalah HaMesira of seeing it as part of that continuity, which we have at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, which clearly puts it as that kind of a chain. However, the key point which we're noting over here is that it says Hanayfin Shalom L'Rabbi V'Amaser Shalom L'Rabbi. It speaks about a problem of a person giving Shalom or returning Shalom to his Rebbe. So Rashi says right away Kishar Kol Adam. It's not that you're not supposed to greet your Rebbe, but you greet your Rebbe like anybody else. Shalom Alecha, to say Shalom Aleichem. V'Loyam Alei Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Not to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Right? In other words, you don't say it like you would say it to a peer. You would say it with a proper note of deference that's within there. And Taisvis over here, same thing. Pirush Kishab Yerim Shein Ayim Hashem Alecha Rebbe. V'Hayin Adam Minan. And that's the Gemara Bava Kama, which the Rabbi Akiva Eger is noting the Taisvis there. Kedei Shelas Talmud L'Rav. The Gemara gives a shear, right? Toich Kedei Dibur, right? If a person says, I'm selling this to you here, and then, abap! You know, a person wants to jump in with a condition. So you consider the ink not to be dry for a very, very short interval, where you can still put something in there. And what's that called? That's called Toich Kedei Dibur. The amount of time that it would take to quickly jump in and say something. Says what? To say what? Says the Gemara, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Kedei Shelas Talmud L'Rav. In other words, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Shelas, person one to another, would be just Shalom Alecha. Right? But here you add another two syllables. Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Right? That's the lapse of time that you could still jump in and do something about it. Says Rashi, here we're saying, says Rashi, says the way Tosfos points, here we're saying, you're not supposed to greet your Rebbe. And there we say that the shear of time is how a Talmud greets his Rebbe. So he says that's what it means. There's a special way that a Talmud should greet his Rebbe, and what the Gemara is discouraging over here is to do it in the regular way. Inami ahulachat chilakam, a very difficult language. And Taisus with Talmud Chavid to show you Kohani lekam. He says, or maybe the Gemara over there is talking about, maybe Talmud shouldn't greet his Rebbe, but over there it's talking about a Talmud Chavir, a Talmud who is something of a peer, says, which has its own halachic status. That's what Taisus says over here. Taisus in Bava Kama says, they share a Talmud l'Rav, and he brings the Gemara here in Brachos, and he says, we speak about Naisin Shalom Rabbi, Machshon Rabbi, not a good thing. So he says that's when he does it like he does to appear. But then Taisva says, how about the Gemara in Shabbos where HaKadosh Baruch Hu reproaches Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe about not saying hello. And Moshe Rabbeinu responds and says, Klum Yesh Eved Shenoisein Shalom L'Rabbi. Does an Eved greet his Rebbe? Now one second. Here in the Gemara we're talking about a Talmud greeting his Rebbe and we say, yeah, you should do it. Do it differently, but you still should do it, says the Gemara, Eved Shani. He says, no. That's by an Eved, by a servant. She'emas Rabbi Olav, uvushumin yinei litin lo'shalim. says Tosfos, there's a difference between an Eved and a Talmid. There's a difference between a slave, a servant, and a student. A servant should never, right? Amos Rabbeilov, he's filled with fear of his master. And therefore, it's so overwhelming that even with a modification or a respectful title, he wouldn't give shalom to his master. But the Gemara is talking about a Talmud. And a Talmud is not going to be the same. It's not going to have the same connection, the same yachas as an Eved.
But we're both.
Yes, it's a fascinating piece which he says over there. Moshe Rabbeinu evidently stood before Hashem. Again, ki Eved Nemon Karasalai. Loi Chein, that's of course right, that's what he says in the prayers of Shabbos. Loi Chein Avdi Moshe, Hashem said about Moshe at the end of Parshas Ba'aleischa. Avdi Moshe, b'chol beisi nemanu, in all of my household, he is the most faithful one. Right, that's where we get this Eved Nemon Karasalai. It's fascinating, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, not the Talmud, but Moshe Rabbeinu, the Eved. So that's something for itself. The Marsha of Hiram Brochus, as if he is unaware of the Taisvus of Bava Kama, brings the Taisvus that says there's a difference in how you ask here, how you ask there, and then it says, Uktsas Kosha, may I eat the Perek Rabbi Akiva? But it's a little difficult from the Gemara in Shabbos. Over there he said, Yeshevah Shanais and Shomer Abed, Loy Amar Rechia Gavdan, Kdei Sheel Sram Rav, Shomer Lachad Daini. Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu have said, peace unto you, my master? He says the difference is whether you're talking about a Talmud or you're talking about a servant. Servant doesn't greet at all. Okay, and then he says maybe you should be mechalik between Naisen Shalom and She'ilas Shalom. She'ilas Shalom is okay. She'ilas Talmud L'Rav, like Ha'ilachala Azraini, he says. But over here we're talking about Naisen Shalom L'Rav, giving Shalom to his master. And that distinction, by the way, is also made in the Marsha in Shabbos between Nais and Shalom and She'ilas Shalom. But Rabbi Kiveger's point is that a lot of the Shakel V'Tayr, a lot of the give and take of the Marsha is actually a Taisvus that evidently momentarily escaped the Marsha when he wrote, that commentary. So it's not simple. So we come back to our Gemara. It's not simple, and there's something unique here about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was not comfortable. It was, he felt especially as an Eved that he was not really able to open his mouth and to say anything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem said, no, nevertheless. Food for thought, food for processing in approaching this Gemara.
When he saw Rabbi Akiva, he looked down in the future and he saw them.
So we're gonna come to that in Mir Tashem shortly. It's the other half of this Gemara. Interestingly, it's the other half of this Gemara, the Gemara in Menachos, which says that story doesn't say this part of the story, and vice versa. So
we
the
can we reconcile that? I don't know if I'm asking correctly. That it stands higher. That his failure to say Shalom represented something that was delinquent in terms of Torah.
It's a good question. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu viewed himself as conducting with Derech Eretz, as the Eved, but it's an interesting question that you're asking. I'm going to reserve a comment. So the Maral goes on to explain as follows. He says, yes, we're not partners, exactly, right? He said, I'm not going to say Shalom to me like you say to anybody else. But still there's something that you should have said to support me. And he says like this, you can only do something if there's something that will be there to accept what you're doing, to take it, right? You say, okay, here, I'm a great craftsman, right? So I'm ready, and I'm going to build a beautiful bench. Except there's only one problem, I need some wood, right? I need some wood, because otherwise I could be a great craftsman. It's all potential, and there's nothing that I can do. So you can say, how can you compare the wood to the craftsman? You can't, they're not, so to speak, partners, in the sense equals. The craftsman is doing everything, and he's just acting on the wood. The wood is a psashtik holtz, it's just sitting there. Right? But on the other hand, without the wood, you wouldn't be able to craft anything. Says the Maral, a poel, somebody who's trying to accomplish something, needs something that will receive it. So Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you, I'm giving this Torah. What's the Torah? Why am I tying crowns on it now? Because I'm about to give it. I have to have somebody to give it to, right? We're not talking about the Torah before Masa Bereishis, before there was anybody to give it to. We're talking about the Torah prepared for delivery. So yes, of course, I'm making it completely by myself and so on and so forth. But I need you to receive it. And therefore, you are a party to this. This is not like where you're going to some museum, right, and you're watching the glass blower, or you're watching the diamond cutter, right, and you're just a spectator. You have no role over here. What are you talking about? I'm wrapping this thing. I'm crowning the letters to give them to you. So you're not a sideshow over here. You are part of it, and therefore you do play a role. And therefore, you do have something here. So, therefore, as a Makabel who's there and ready to receive it and to accept it, you are playing a role. And therefore, don't underestimate the role. The more, the better the role you play, the stronger my gift. And therefore, you do, indeed, again, a deferential role, a very, very much so deferential role, but a role nevertheless. Okay, and he darshans, he says, specifically the tagin, because the tagin are these little fine sticks. Right, and the little fine sticks, they don't mean anything unless they're attached to a letter. Right, so that's why specifically in that context it was very, very much to talk about that simple broad base, and that broad base that the Eved provides in order for it to be something, in order to make it. So it's really not a shutfus. Don't say Shalom Alecha like you're a partner, but also don't just stand there like you're an outsider to this. You are very, very much essential to the process. That's the way the Maral explains the Gemara. And, it's understandable. The terms which he used get even more elaborate and more deep and harder to explain as he goes on to it, and he speaks of this in a very einkam mokem zek yudover amayk v'amayk mayk. This is an extremely, extremely deep, deep concept. So when the Maral's apologizing, so I will apologize as well. However, let's try to perhaps build on this and go a little bit on this. Okay. The other half, as we was mentioned, the other half of this Gemara is on this page with the nice illustrations of the crowns and the letters. In fact, it's brought in this context because in the third parak of Menachos is the sugya of Stam, where it teaches us about how scribal arts, so to speak, of Torah are practiced. And in the middle of the discussion of these halachas, so it brings the story about when Moshe Rabbeinu found Hashem tying letters onto the Torah. But very interestingly, the Gemara over here does not bring the story in the same aspects of the story, and the Gemara in Shabbos doesn't bring the aspects of the story which are found here. The Gemara says as follows. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Okay, this is not Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, like in the Gemara in Shabbos, who told his version of the story. This is Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven, he found Hashem tying the crowns onto the letters. He said, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, who's holding you back? What does that mean? Who's holding you back? So says Rashi, in other words, seemingly, you've written already the Torah. I mean, the Torah is done. Why are you still working on it? Why are you still attaching these crowns as if the work isn't done yet? I mean, I don't understand what's going on over here. So Amar Lo, he said, Adam Echad Yesha Asid Liyais Besayf Kama Dairis. Akiva Ben Yosef Shemai. Because there's going to be somebody, after many generations, his name is Akiva Ben Yosef, known to us as Rabbi Akiva. Shasid Lidresh Al Kol Kites Vakites, Tilin Tilin Shal Halachis. On every one of these little prongs to this crown, he's going to darshan, he's going to extrapolate piles and piles of halachas. In other words, he's not going to just read the letters. He's also going to read the crowns, whatever that means. Amar lefanav, so Moshe said, really? Rabbeinu Shalom, hareuli, I'd like to see him. Amar lo, so he said to him, chazer liachayrecha. He said, take a step back. Holach v'yosha v'seif shmein ashures. So Moshe Rabbeinu went and he sat behind eight rows back. So he was sitting eight rows back, right? He was in this time machine. He was there by Rabbi Akiva. He was sitting in the shir, and he wasn't even in the front row, right? And he didn't know what they were talking about. He didn't know what they were talking about. Toshash Koichai. Moshe Rabbeinu felt very, very shvach. You know, oh my gosh, you know. If Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't understand the Torah, you know that you're in trouble. Kivan Shigia L'davar Echad. When they were going on in the discussion, they came to a specific thing. Amrei Talmidav, Rabbi Minayin Lach, Rabbi, where'd you get this from? Rabbi Akiva. Amrei Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. I got this because this was what Hashem gave to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. Nisiyash V'datai. So Moshe Rabbeinu felt better. Yeah, he didn't know exactly why he didn't get it, but at least it wasn't that he was disconnected from it. Farkert, he was the life source of it. Chazer Bolif Ne'akadosh Baruch. So Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, Shir was dismissed. He went back to Hashem. Amar Lefanav, Rabbeinu Shalom. Yeshu Adam Kazev Ata Neisin Teira Al Yadi. You have somebody like this, and you're giving the Torah through me? I mean, who am I? Maybe you could turn down the heat a little bit. Amar Lai, so Hashem said to him, Shtaik, Kachalav Machshav Lefanai. He said, Hashem said to him, quiet. These are my thoughts. Okay. Amar Lefanav, Rabbeinu Shalom, Harisani Teira Rani Schari. You've shown me his Torah. How outstanding it is. Now show me his reward. Amar Lai Chazer Macherech. Take a step back. Took a step back. Right, back in time, whatever that means. So he saw that Rabbi Akiva's flesh was being weighed in the meat markets of Rome. Remember, Rabbi Akiva was one of the 10 martyrs. He was killed a torturous death. They combed the flesh from his body, and then they treated him with the ultimate indignity. He said, I understand. This is Torah. You showed me his Torah. This is its reward. He said, quiet. These are my thoughts. Same answer which he said to the first question. That's the end of the Gemara. And then the Gemara goes right back to the halachic discussion. Okay? Now, it's a very, very, I mean, I'm sure many of you have heard parts of this Gemara, all of this Gemara. It's a very, very...
That's why we skipped the Agadot.
Yeah. Now this Gemara is rich, alein shir. And we won't... there's a lot of very, very important things here in this Gemara, which we will try to bring out what we can in the context of this discussion. But to begin with, right, we have here this complementary account of what's happening. In the Gemara in Shabbos, it tells us the story that's happening over here, and maybe leave the door a little bit open. In the Gemara in Shabbos, they're telling this story on the Moshe Rabbeinu end, which is that, how Moshe Rabbeinu responds to this, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's saying to him, why aren't you saying hello? Why aren't you saying hello? Okay, fine, you still should have said something. Moshe Rabbeinu at a disadvantage on that end, so to speak, you know, on the defensive. And here we have this other thing. Moshe Rabbeinu has no idea what these crowns are for. But Rabbi Akiva knows. And Rabbi Akiva understands what the crowns are for, and he interprets all kinds of things, you know, with regard to it. And Moshe Rabbeinu is astounded that Hashem is interested in him when he has Rabbi Akiva. And then on the other hand, you have when Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, like, well, what's going on over here, you know, with this reward, and you know, versus Rabbi Akiva. What's going on? Yeah.
It's an answer, like, when Moshe has a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who is holding you back? And this process is for later generations. Wasn't it written together with when Hashem was writing the Torah?
That the Gemara doesn't explain explicitly. But clearly what he's saying is there's something here that is going to be yet drawn out at some later time. Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't see it, right? But Rabbi Akiva is going to bring it out. So therefore, I'm not writing it. Right, the written Torah that you see, that you know, is finished, right? But this is there, and it's going to be something that's going to be uncorked, uncovered at some later time. And that's why you ask me why am I, so to speak, wasting my time? Why don't I just give the Torah the way it is? I'm not wasting my time. I'm putting something in that's, you know, timeless. That's going to be uncovered by Rabbi Akiva.
So that's a fourth level then, that's beyond 613 mitzvahs.
That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. Absolutely.
Is it part of the
It's very, very ambiguous, this Gemara, and it seems to present both. On the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what he was talking about. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva attributed it to Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai, that Moshe Rabbeinu had received it from Sinai. It's very, very you know, cognitively, rationally, this Gemara is very, very, very difficult to understand. Okay, so we will be making an attempt here, and perhaps it will help us in this notion of understanding our Gemara over here in Shabbos. Okay, let's start with a couple of premises. Premise number one, which is the following. The Gemara says, Sta Mishnah Rabbi Meir. If you have a Mishnah, it doesn't say who says it. Who said it? Rabbi Meir. Stam Sifra, excuse me if I'm going to get some of these wrong, Rabbi Yehuda. Stam this, Rabbi Shimon. The Kulu, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. Says more, but they're all based on Rabbi Akiva. In other words, these were all the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, the second generation of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva after the 24,000 died. And everything which they had, and this is basically what it's describing, there are all the texts of the oral Torah, okay, all the written texts of the oral Torah, which, you know, in the later generation when they decided to write it down, they are all based on the Messiah as it came through Rabbi Akiva, all from the teachings of Rabbi Akiva. That, coupled with this Gemara, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, what is this for? Hashem says, it's because Rabbi Akiva is going to use these. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, so you have Rabbi Akiva who you can give the Torah through. Why are you giving the Torah through me? Leads to the following dramatic, drum roll please, pronouncement from the Arizal. The Arizal, the father, right, Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, the great Kabbalist of Tzfas. Okay, change the music. Mm-hmm. Forget the drums, right? Flutes, violins. Okay, so what is this great, what is this statement from the Arizal? Statement from the Arizal is that what Moshe Rabbeinu was to the Torah Shebichtav, Rabbi Akiva was to what we have as the written Torah Shebaal Peh. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Akiva, the Maaseh HaTorah. Okay, now, why is that a dramatic statement? And why must we be extremely, extremely careful about the understanding and the value of that statement? Because of one of the little old things called the basic principles of faith, of which one, if they don't believe in them, they are considered a heretic. And they don't have a portion in the world to come. So I think we want to be a little bit careful about this. Right? And that is, Shekol HaTorah HaMetzuya Ata B'Yadeinu, Yinesunu Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShoah. All of the Torah that we have right now in our hands, it was all given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Nothing, no new prophecy, no new anything. It's all Torah Moshe. Nothing new that wasn't given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Now,
There's a difference between the giving of something and the understanding of something.
New ways of
excellent,
realizing it.
Excellent, accurate, 100%. Rabbi Akiva was not claiming new revelation. Rabbi Akiva was darshaning, he was interpreting. Somehow, as the Gemara says, when the Gemara asks, a certain person says, an halachic discussion, you know, this place, Beishan, is not from Eretz Yisrael, for the purposes of Trumas and Maestros. What? How could it be? Our fathers, our grandfathers, they all treated it as part of Eretz Yisrael. He says, you know, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam leaves things for later generations so that they could have a chance to have an impact too. And that doesn't mean that when they discover it, then there's a new revelation that came down to them. They were studying, they were discovering, but they saw something in the material which was given already that wasn't seen before. But when it came to Rabbi Akiva, it wasn't just like everybody else, you know, he saw five things, he saw six things, and so on and so forth. Rabbi Akiva was a revolutionary new vision of what was there in the Torah. It was not a reform. It was not a new revelation in the sense something new from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was Rabbi Akiva understanding the Torah Metzuya Ata B'Yadeinu that was given through Moshe Rabbeinu. However, it was a dramatic shift. Witness the fact that it was such a different language that in a sense Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't even understand it. In the end, he understood that it was all built on Torah Moshe. And it was a new cook, a new perspective, a new view, a new way of interpretation, so to speak, of Torah Moshe. So it was all, in a sense, attributed to him. But it was a turn. It was something dramatic, a dramatic change. Right? Note, for instance, and again, is that what happens for us, we have a period of Sfiras HaOmer. And what is Sfiras HaOmer for us? It's two things. It's a period of delicious anticipation of when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai on the 50th day of the Omer. And It's a period of grieving over the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva. You know, there's something which is happening over here. Right? There's, again, there's more to discuss about that. We simply don't have time to go into each detail, but you see this symbiosis, if that's the right word, between Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Akiva of their relationship as givers of Torah and their involvement in Torah.
I'm not understanding a new revelation. What does that mean? I'm not understanding.
Isn't it like the going in the
building? You know,
please forgive me.
That's okay. I'm gonna say it in a ways which in a way which in a certain sense may oversimplify it, but may just not make it easy to understand. Chaim Brisker, you know, came up with this thing. Did he really come up with it as a question? But he came up with this thing, the attributes, as we're gonna say, there's a din when you look at something, you can speak about it's as the human responsibility, the din on the gavra, what the person's responsibility is, and on the other hand, you can look at it as how it relates to the object which you're discussing, the din on the cheftza. And so he was willing, or he was able, to take many halachas, and instead of just looking at them as they were looked at before, he said, well, let's parse it, let's take it apart, let's look at the gavra part and the cheftza part, and everything will have these two dinim, these two aspects that we can look at the same time. Again, that's an oversimplification, but that's the classic, so to speak. Now, that was a revolution. People started analyzing Torah in ways that they hadn't analyzed the Torah before. Did Rav Chaim Brisker go up to Har Sinai? Did Rav Chaim Brisker say, come awake in the base measure one and say, my friends, I had a dream, right, or something like that? No, Rav Chaim Brisker was sitting and he was thinking, and yes, with divine assistance, with Siyata Deshmaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him this thing, and it revolutionized the way Torah is learning. Not different, in a certain sense, than what Rav Huttner did, you know, when he opened up the world to a world of Machshava, to do what we're doing here today, only because of him. What do you mean? All this stuff was there before, but somehow, you know, he was able to put together the Lithuanian analysis with the Lurianic and the Maharalian, you know, thinking, and put the two of them together and bring out a new way of viewing things.
Paradigmatic shift.
What?
A paradigmatic shift.
Exactly right. A paradigm shift. And
only if it's anthropomorphic, though.
Fancy word.
So this is Rabbi Akiva, but it's you know, to equate it with Rav Chaim Brisker, or to equate it with Rav Huttner, or to equate it to the Gro, or to any of these things, as great as those revolutions were, Rabbi Akiva was mamish. The Mishnah, the Gemara, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's a whole different kettle of fish. Okay, now.
A second Moshe Rabbeinu.
A second Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the way it's prefaced. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, forget second, let him be Moshe Rabbeinu the first. What do you need me for? So Shmuel says, quiet. No. I need you, and then I need him. Okay, now. What's the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Akiva?
How they died.
No, there's a big difference in how they died. But let's talk to this, okay? And to just illustrate this, a simple Mishnah. A Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, second parak. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five Talmidim. Who was the best? So there are two who were candidates for the best. One was Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, and the other one was Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, what was his strength? He was a bor sid she'eno ma'abe tipa. He was like a cemented cistern that doesn't lose a drop. Right? You would pour into him water, you would pour into it water, you would come back, it would all be there. No runoff, no absorption that lost it. It was all there. He was a Talmud. Gemara says, I think we discussed Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus a little bit in one of the earlier shurim, if I'm not mistaken, right? And he retained, he absorbed everything which he learned, and he was able to give it back. And that's all that he did when he had his druthers, right? He just would say what the Gemara here in Bracha says, be careful, only say over what you heard from his Rebbe. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus never said anything that he didn't hear from his Rebbe, except when he did, which was a discussion for itself. The Rabbi Eliezer, sorry about that, shouldn't have thrown that in. But Rabbi Eliezer ben Aruch was a Mayanamis Gaber. He was a fountain. He was a spring that just grew and grew and grew and grew. And what was that? What does that mean? It means it's not that it brings in It's, you know, you put in and you take it out. He was creative. He was original. He would come up with new ideas. Now, what does that mean, new ideas? Again, the ideas would have to be based on what was received from Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. Otherwise, heresy. But with his understanding, he developed and created new ideas. Two models.
We have chidushim.
You couldn't.
We have chidushim all the time. But
that's right. If not for that creative and original possibility. Yeah. And these two things exist. These two models exist, and there's tons of illustrations and examples of how you see the difference between the two of them. You have the Talmud Chacham, who's considered a filing cabinet. The Talmud Chacham, who's what's called a Sinai, what the Gemara calls, where he's just filled with the knowledge which he received from Sinai, received knowledge. And then you have this, the one who's Oiker Horim, a very fascinating phrase, who uproots mountains and grinds them against each other. In other words, it's sort of, he's revolutionizing our Sinai. He's turning it upside down. And the Gemara has a discussion at the end of Iris, which one's bigger? Is the Sinai bigger? Is the Eichor Horem bigger? Much like the discussion in Pirkei Avos, is Rebbe Eliezer ben Hurkanus the greatest? Is Rebbe Elazar ben Aruch the greatest? Okay. Now, what I want to just posit to you very, very simply is that if you are looking for a single word to describe Rebbe Eliezer ben Hurkanus and to say non for Rebbe Elazar ben Aruch, a word which you could use would be Eved. Because the Eved is the servant, the slave, who we understand his position is that he just receives. Right? Masha kana Eved kana Rabbi. He has no independence. He's nothing. He's just, you tell me what to do and I'm going to do it. Eved is essentially a non-entity. He walks down the street and he spots a $100 bill and his eyes twinkle. But then the twinkle leaves because he knows, yeah, he'll pick up a $100 bill and what's it going to be? It goes right to his master. He has no independence whatsoever. Zilch, zippo, zaputo, nothing. Nothing. Right? He's an Eved. He's an Eved. He's a cemented cistern that will take whatever's put into him and it's going to be sitting there, it's going to be waiting, and it's going to come out exactly the way it is. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki Eved Neman Karasalai. Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't speak about Moshe Rabbeinu's brilliant creativity, generally speaking. What do we say about Moshe Rabbeinu? The uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy was Shechina medaberes mitaych grainei shel Moshe. It was like a ventriloquist. Hashem was speaking from the throat of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's almost like that's what it was. In other words, it's not that Hashem taught it to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then Moshe Rabbeinu processed it and said, well, in other words, which is what every other Navi does, because a Navi speaks in his own signon, and therefore, in fact, we say that if there are two Nevi'im and they speak in the same words, we say they are liars. They're obviously prepared, right, and just coordinated with each other. If they were truly saying Hashem's word, Hashem would have taught it to them, and they would have processed it, and they would have said it on their own. But with Moshe Rabbeinu, Ze'adover, Moshe Rabbeinu, clear, absolute, it was Hashem's voice, it wasn't his. Nothing of him went into it. It was a barsit she'enem abiti. Right. Rabbi Akiva was creative. He was the Mayan HaMisgaber. The Mayan HaMisgaber is not an Eved. Mayan HaMisgaber is a non-Eved. Mayan HaMisgaber is much more of a partner. A partner in the process. In a sense, a giver of the Torah. And I can't resist, but that's Rabbi Akiva, who was the one who taught Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabbeis Talmidei Chachamim. It says, you fear Hashem your God, but it said, S always comes to include something. And they were sitting, struggling, what could be feared besides for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says Rabbi Akiva, Talmidei Chachamim. Why? Talmid Chacham also creates Torah. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Sphira Sahimer, what was the issue? Our Sinai was everything. It was a mammoth of Kfayt Hashem. The honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fire on our Sinai, everything, be careful, stand around, Mahra Kfayt Hashem, Kfayt Hashem, Kfayt Hashem. And what happened with the students of Rabbi Akiva? What was the failure? There was no kavod for Talmidei Chachamim. Because the Talmidei Chachamim are now Hashem. Whoa, ooh, careful, right? What do you mean they're now Hashem? Well, that's the heresy that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand. What? What are they saying? I don't know what they're saying. It's not received. You're right, it's not received. It's developed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, come on, say Shalom. Say Shalom, partner. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, what are you talking about? I'm not a partner. I'm an Eved. And not even just like a regular Talmud. He was the quintessential Talmud. He put Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus to shame. By the way, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus is known as Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. Why is he called Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol?
He was always right halachically.
Hmm?
He was always right halachically.
No. In fact, we never hardly ever paskin like him. Sorry. Right? Rabbi Eliezer Shamutehu. Right? But the reason he's associated, if anybody wants to look at the Radal at the beginning of his commentary on Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer is associated with Moshe Rabbeinu's son Eliezer. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu was very, very upset that his children would not inherit his position. HaKadosh Baruch Hu don't so. He said, don't worry. Eliezer, your son, will still be there. And they quote Rabbi Eliezer from the Mishnayos in Parah, in Taras. Right? Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus was Moshe Rabbeinu in a certain ways. And there's much, much, again, we don't have time to go into all of this. But the idea is, I'm sorry.
My Rebbe taught me Moshe Rabbeinu Kalatera Kuli, Yitor Shabisab, Yitor Shabapeh. Where is the creativity here? He knew it all.
Absolutely. I cannot explain this to you rationally, but nobody can be able to completely ignore an element of at least reformulation that's present here in this Gemara when Rabbi Akiva teaches and Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what he's talking about. So it's gebait. It was all nested. It was all within the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what Chazal mean when they say even what a Talmud Vasik is going to be Mechadesh, a Talmud will renew, come up with generations later, his argument to Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai, doesn't necessarily mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just kept telling him more and more and more of these things. It's all there, Bekayach, it's all drawn out of the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, Kel Echad Nesonan, Raya Echad Amara, Mipi Aben Kol HaMaisim, the Gemara Chagig, which we talked about months ago when we were learning. It all is there in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. But Rabbi Akiva didn't just receive. Rabbi Akiva transmitted. Rabbi Akiva created. Rabbi Akiva drew out things beyond just simply parroting the words of Torah. He built mitoch the quiet, mitoch the silence that was there. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm an Eved, what do you want from me? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Afal pikein hayo l'chol azreini. You still should have helped me. Even as an Eved, but remember, you have in you many, many, many elements of partnership. And we will come back to talk about this with a little bit more specifics in a few minutes, Emir Tashem. But let's just finish with this Gemara and Menachas a little bit more with this Gemara and Menachas. Yes?
Isn't there a little bit of a simpler understanding of the Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu had not yet received the Torah? So he's hearing something that's Halacha Moshe Sinai that he
has. No. Not Shaykh. It's not possible. I don't believe it. Do you know somebody who says that?
I'm just saying.
It's not possible. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm usually not so emphatic. I'm usually a much nicer guy. but then why should Moshe Rabbeinu have Chalisha Sadas? It's clear in the Gemara. I don't. It's very hard for me to accept. Okay, I'm going to get a little nicer, mellow with age, 2 minutes older. But I don't believe it. Not Shaykh. Okay. It wouldn't be a kasha. You have somebody like that and you're giving the Torah through me. You're going to know it all too in a second. You know? Like, what's the whole problem Moshe Rabbeinu would have? Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu, where he was still not understanding what Rabbi Akiva said. And that's why he was saying, Rabbi Akiva's beyond me. If Moshe Rabbeinu hadn't learned yet, so in Shkoyach. So then, once Rabbi Akiva says that and he feels better, so he doesn't have a question anymore, why are you giving the Torah through me? So Rabbi Akiva's not, if Rabbi Akiva is the same, if it's his equal, not Shaykh. Okay, sorry. Back to my old stuff itself. Okay, so back to the Gemara. So, but what's going on over here with this thing? At the same time, Rabbi Akiva, so again, Yesh Kan Mokoyim, this is something which describes more discussion, but just think about this. You think about a tragedy, Le'olei. So what's the response to a tragedy? All of you students of the Bible, of the Chumash, what's a response to a tragedy? Classic response to a tragedy.
Punishment?
To a punishing tragedy. Not even Avihu died. right? In the middle of everything, right? So we have this beautiful classic response, Vayidaim Aaron. And Aaron was silent. He silently accepted what was happening. Moshe Rabbeinu says, what's going on over here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, quiet. Right? He instructs him, Vayidaim Aaron. What was Rabbi Akiva's response to tragedy? When they were combing his flesh with the iron combs, he was reading the Shema. His Talmidim said, what? Ad Kan even now? You're not just taking the silent? No, I'm not taking the silent. I'm embracing it. I'm reading the Kriya Shema. You should love Hashem with all your soul. And you know that was Rabbi Akiva all the time. When they're walking by the Arabayas, everybody's there and they're crying. Rabbi Akiva's laughing. He's embracing the tragedy. He's embracing the difficulty. Another major difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Akiva. Or Moshe Rabbeinu's time, Rabbi Akiva. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayidaim. Right? He certainly sets the stage for the Vayidaim of Aaron. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu explained it to Aaron, to create the Vayidaim Aaron. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu over here wasn't quiet. Right? But what was his non-silence? The non-silence was, what's going on over here? Not the voice of Rabbi Akiva who had said, ah! Gewaldic! Amazing! Beyond our experience, beyond our comprehension. But that was a whole different thing. An Eved, silent. Right? They just accept whatever's going on, whatever's meted out to them. Sometimes they'll understand it. Sometimes they won't understand it. Yeah, whatever. The master's in a bad mood today. You know, it's not for me to understand. Hashem says, not for him to understand. Rabbi Akiva, the creative genius, the creative understander of Ritzayim Kaini, that just doesn't just sit there, oh, okay, that's what he said. He finds, he discovers, right? That is the kayach to be able to somehow embrace this tragedy. Now, I'm saying this very briefly. It needs much more understanding. I'm not holding you much longer. Okay, so it requires something else. But again, it's the same contrast. What I'm trying to show you here is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in Shabbos versus Rabbi Yudah Marav in Menachas. Is this basic question of the Eved versus the non-Eved. Whether it is in the posture of Shalom Aleichem, whether it is in the receiving of Torah or the receiving of tragedy. Passive, active partner. Not just Mekabel that, you know, you need someplace where the Torah has to land, but you're a player. You're a player in all of this.
That's the thing, Rabbi Akiva, it's a Talmud. We come along by Yishkalti, but you learn more from your Talmud because of the you ask, you challenge, you know, and Rabbi Akiva was the one who challenged, who asked. Eved doesn't challenge. Eved just accepts. A Talmud doesn't.
One thing is for sure, that the fact that Rabbi Akiva was a Baal Tshuva is fundamental to who Rabbi Akiva was. In other words, he did not receive the tradition. Right? He was a Ben Gerim, he was a Baal Tshuva. He did not receive it. He found it. He discovered it. That's all part of the same thing. Like Avram Avinu, who also in many ways, you know, possesses that quality.
There were instances where Moshe challenged Hashem.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Now, here we get to it. Thank you. Good show there, Ben. We need one like that in every crowd. Okay. Where am I? Vayem Hashem al Moshe. Vayisi Yisrael Mazevi Neam Kshayerefu. Right, the golden calf. Hashem says, I've seen these people, and they're stubborn. They can't learn. He says, now let me, just allow me, and let my anger flare against them, and I will destroy them. And I will make you into a great nation. So Moshe davened. He davened to Hashem. Hashem, please don't get angry. Don't do this. And so on and so forth. And Hashem changed his mind about the evil that he wanted to do to the people. And that this whole parsha of the Egel continues with a dramatic strength, almost with, one might say, a stubbornness, an obstinacy on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu, not allowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to pull back, Avraham and Kadosh Baruch Hu to destroy first, and then even when he says, okay, I'll let them live, but I'm going to pull back, not allowing Hashem to pull back. This is, of course, continues in the story of the Meraglim, where again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants as well to destroy them. Right? And is ready to go. Right? And Moshe Rabbeinu again responds to Hashem, and so on, and ends with, and Hashem responds and he says, I will forgive as you have said. I will forgive as you have said. Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe, just let me and I will destroy them. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Pesach le-Pesach shel Tefillah. He said, Rabbi Moshe, I'm not going to do this if you don't let me. In other words, the master is turning to his servant and saying to him, buddy, it's up to you. Not servant, you listen to me what I'm saying. I'm saying, it's up to you. You are my partner. Bris Shloish Esrei, the covenant of the Yud Gimel Midas. It's up to you. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you know something, don't, your posture to me cannot be Eved, 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 Eved. Eved, Eved, Eved means I slap you in the face. I destroy the people. You just accept it lying down. But I'm telling you here and now, don't take it lying down. And arguably, Hanichali is Hayolachal Azreini. Hanichali is at least a manifestation of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't just say you're an Eved Lifnei Rabbi. And Moshe Rabbeinu's time, that expresses itself in Moshe Rabbeinu resisting this on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Yigdal Melkayach Hashem Kesher Dibarta Lemar. Giving Hashem strength. The servant not just receiving, but giving. Rabbi Akiva gave Hashem strength. Yagdil Torah V'yadir. He grew the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Akiva, Moshe Rabbeinu over here, grew some sense the Rachmanis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where Moshe Rabbeinu's place was. Not to be an Eved, but to be a partner. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him that room and asked him to grow Hashem's strength and to make it something bigger. And that is what the part which Moshe Rabbeinu accomplishes. It's a very interesting thing. I say this as in sense almost in closing. Rabbi Akiva was one of the Asar Arugei Malchus. By the 10 martyrs, what happened? So the way the Torah story is told to us by Chazal, whether this is an exact historical account or not, but the way Chazal told us the story was, this decree came out from the Roman, whatever he was called, the Roman Caesar, and he said, not the Roman Caesar, the Roman Chayes Emperor, and he said, you know, these 10 people are going to be killed from the Jewish people. And they said, give us 3 days. And what was the purpose of 3 days? So they wanted to know if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it, or if this was just some, you know, the kind of thing which people are able to fight, or if it was a gzeira from Hashem. So they were able to send up Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, who went up, and he heard that it was Din Shamayim. And what happened when it was Din Shamayim? They were Kabbalat. Rabbi Kiva was completely passive. They accepted it. Din Shamayim they accepted. But in Torah, they built, and they added. And in their suffering, they embraced. Moshe Rabbeinu was the opposite. Din Shamayim, he's not so quick to accept. But Din Torah he accepted. Completely ke'evet. So it requires more understanding, requires more explanation. But it's clear the pattern that the Gemara is establishing over here. That, you know, yeah, of course, one level what the Maral says, you're the Makabel, so you're very, very important over here. But that importance and how it expresses itself in Moshe Rabbeinu's Tzkuf and Rabbi Akiva's
Tzkuf. They wanted to fight it.
Tvarim G'day L'Maid.
They wanted to Makabel, the Tov, the Vos, that's it. They wanted to fight it, Mimarim, the answer came back, you know, that's it. Others were turned into Tovo Vos, and must speak.
The Malachim.
So that's the Malachim.
The Malachim. Right? They said, we're Makabal Din Shamayim Aleinu. The Malachim said, Rabbi Hashem, what's going on? The Malachim who are Avadim, who have no Zich. They're like Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was at his fullest, he was Kamalach Hashem's Vach, he's just messengers of Hashem. So they had the same problem.
Can you make a distinction between the emotional and the intellectual? That this aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu's challenge and saying the Rebbeinu Shem says you are now my partner, You taught me rachamim.
Little kids, take it home.
But Rabbi Akiva was the creativity of intellectuals. I don't know if
it could be. I'm not happy to say that alone. But it could be.
Isn't that the advantage of an Eved? Like, you find the Gemara in Brachas by davening for the child.
Isn't it unbelievable?
Yeah.
Isn't it unbelievable to see? We don't understand it all, but. Teres Hashem.